Now, from Minnesota's leading news station, Cindy Brucato, Stan Turner, Dennis Belkin, and Bob Bruce. This is the Eyewitness News Update.
Well, not quite the Eyewitness News Update, but it is Flashback Twin Cities. We had a KSTP All-Stars show today. Our guest live in studio, Bob Bruce, formerly of KSTP, and, of course, Stan Turner of KLDD Radio. Mm-hmm.
The man who taught me everything.
Oh, this is, boy, you can't hang that on me. No. That's a star-studded lineup we just heard there.
I won't tell you what year that is from. But,
I was thinking about 2 or 3 years ago.
It is from 4 years ago. not the State Fair, though. It's a great, Bob. Finally had you in studio. It's great. And you.
Well, as I called you last week, and my voice is a little bad because I had a bad case of the flu. I almost have a deep enough voice like Stan Turner now, because when I look at some of my old tapes, Stan, my voice is so high.
Not really.
Oh, it's
well, that adolescence, kicks in after a while.
I was pretty young.
What were you, 15 when you started? So it's okay.
Well, Stan was 16. You had
I was.
15. So this is the first time you guys have been together in the same studio.
I haven't seen Bob in years. How many years, Bobby? It's been a long time, long, long time.
I can't even remember the last time I saw you.
What would you guess? 20?
At least 20.
Yeah? At least
20.
This is fun. Thank you for bringing us together again.
And Bob
he truly was, and I say that with all sincerity. I was literally a kid. I was 25 years old when I came to work, and he was the news director, and I was pretty sure of myself and everything else. He had to put up with a lot of you-know-what from me and was very patient, and I learned a lot by watching him. He doesn't realize this. I used to watch him a lot because I think I tell people today, young kids or whatever, I used to copy the best and try to then build my own style. So I was watching the high school tournament today, and I just show Stan a picture. Yeah. When we did the high school hockey tournament the first year, Howard Cosell came in. And nobody was bigger, and he did the game with us. I mean, Mr. Hubbard and ABC, they pulled Howard Cosell in, for heaven's sakes.
How great is it to be the name Hubbard and to give Holt Cosell a call, which you think would not be a very, sure, I'll come out and do a high school hockey tournament. You'd think that Howard would have a few things going on.
There was a little power there. We were a pretty powerful ABC affiliate.
A new ABC affiliate. This week, actually, we were talking before the show started. This is the 36th year of the ABC affiliation with KSTP.
I think I'm going to die right here. 36 years?
It might be around the same time I was brought into the world, so that's why I can remember these dates.
But it was 79, right?
Yeah, right.
So that was like the second year I'd worked here.
Wow. Right.
So I come in and, we're working for a great NBC affiliate and everything else, and the family history, the Hubbards with the Sarnoffs.
The first color TV camera.
And, yeah, the whole thing. And a guy came to me in the newsroom and said, hey, we're going to switch to ABC. And I said, are you out of your mind? There's no way that's going to happen. Absolutely will not happen. They announced it the next day.
It is still a controversial decision that's made. This is 36 years ago. People still on the TC Media Now page or on Facebook still gripe about that. I don't know if they can't figure out the dial still.
Yeah, it's easy to look back with 2020 vision. At the time, it looked brilliant. You just don't know what networks are going to do. And in the end, I think it worked out.
Somebody did a man on the street. One of the stations did during the network switch. And nobody got it right.
I think I might figure it out.
And I think you've used it from time to time.
I think I might use it today.
I understand the confusion in the public mind. You and I work in it. But people on the outside, wow. It was total confusion.
Let's take a listen, shall we?
Yeah, here it is.
TCN is going to take over Channel 5, and that's for national broadcasting, NBC, right?
KMSP TV is going to go to NBC, and WWTC would be unaffiliated then, or no, is that confusing, isn't it? Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
It's either ABC is going to... with CBS, the National Broadcasting Company, to switch it around like that. But I'm not really sure.
I believe that Channel 5's affiliation with NBC is going to Channel 11, no, Channel 9's affiliation with CBK. Is that it? Did I get
CBK.
It right?
That sounds Canadian to me.
Canadian Broadcasting Company with a K.
So the poor people on the outside, you can't blame them for being confused. But the thing was that ABC was a red-hot network, yep. Bob. You remember this guy named Fred Silverman was in charge of the network.
He came to town one night.
He
had a big dinner.
Met with the Hubbards, had a big dinner. And it was, listen, that's all about lead-ins in those days. When you have a 6 and 10 o'clock news product, especially a 10 o'clock news product, it is what people are watching between 9 p.m. Right. and your newscast at 10 that matters. If you have a strong lead-in, Bob, you know the rest of it, boy. You're going to inherit that big audience. Your advertisers love that. And conversely, if you don't have that, then you get rid of the problem, and that's what the Hubbards did.
Whaley was the first time in broadcasting that major affiliation switches were happening at that time. WSB was involved in that. Big, giant stations. Mm-hmm. The other time it happened, really changed my life, is that Ron Perlman, Max Factor, whatever, met with Rupert Murdoch, and Ron owned 20 of the best CBS affiliates in the country, and I was the main anchor at the main CBS affiliate in Phoenix. And we were doing great, even though we had no programming. We were number one. Well, he meets with Murdoch. Murdoch says, I'll give you $500 million if you change all your CBS affiliates to Fox. Well, in those days, Fox had like The Simpsons. That was it. And so when they switched over, I said, I got to do something. And that's how I wound up in Pittsburgh working for Cox Broadcasting, because it just – and then it happened all over the country. It started boom, boom, boom. Things were happening all over the place.
I hate to interrupt you guys. We have a actually late-breaking situation. We have to go to the phone here. Could we, is our guest on?
That guest is on.
Do you have some weather reports for us you want to give to us from Florida?
Well, you know, it's 85 degrees down here.
Dennis, you're torturing
summer,
us.
But, you know, it's not so bad down here in March.
Dennis Falcon.
We're missing a couple seats here in the studio here. We have, I thought we'd do a KSDP All-Stars Day because Bob was in town. This is a big deal for us to have Bob.
This is amazing to hear Dennis.
In studio, and Dennis Falcon is giving us an out-of-the-limb forecast from Florida today. It's about 14 degrees here in Minneapolis, and we're...
Two of the three people, Dennis, I was talking about this earlier, two of the three people that in 1978 did both newscasts, it was Ron Majors, Dennis Falcon, Bob Bruce, and we had like a 50 share. That'll never, ever, ever, ever happen again.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember? Pre-cable, yeah, you'll never see those kind of numbers again, and it was phenomenal. Oh.
It was amazing, the things that went on in those days. Stan and I, we just talked for, you know, half hour out there, just one story after another. It truly was the pinnacle of my career. I think it was the pinnacle of television at that particular age, because things have changed so dramatically now. Everything's so fragmented. But in those days, it was so concentrated, everything was magnified.
Dennis, Stan Turner here. How are you? Nice to hear you again.
Hey, Stan. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. Are you at the Hurricane Center today, or are we safe?
We're safe.
Okay.
I just got home from the Hurricane Center and got into my car, and the car thermometer was saying, hey, it's 86 degrees out there.
I'll be quiet.
This call's over with.
Dennis, you remember the days when Bob Bruce and yours truly and Cindy Brucato and you, we used to ride the bus together. That is to say, we were on the side of buses all over town.
Oh,
I still got some of those little miniature billboards.
And we hung out on a lot of billboards with a lot of pigeons.
It got cold during the winter when we were up there on those billboards. But, you know, we had terrific promotion behind us. And Bob, you were talking about before.
Huge.
Nothing was spared, and the Hubbard family really put us out there, and you know, we have them to thank, all of them.
Well, till the first time you saw somebody draw a mustache on you on the side of the bus.
That happened.
Affected your ego.
I kind of like my look that way.
You know, it's the reason why this is able to exist is once you leave Minnesota for other opportunities, or you know what you have to do for your career, you never leave Minnesota. Whether you're here for a few months or a few years or a decade, both you and Dennis are both here for a dozen years.
I was here 13 years, got married here, had my children here. I have relatives here. I come back at least twice a year. And I have business clients here. So I'm in Minnesota. I have three hometowns now, Pittsburgh, Scottsdale, and Minnesota, and I love them all.
We don't need to go so quickly. We keep you around. And right now with your TC Media Now, hopefully you're enjoying some of the video you can see from a couple of years ago. And,
Dennis, can you believe the stuff this guy has found? It just amazes me.
It's just amazing. And you know, we're talking 30, 35 years ago, and I look at that and think, wow, did I do that? Did I do all that stuff? Really? That was a lot of fun, as I remember.
You did it. I saw you do it, too, Dennis. It was fun.
Oh, okay. There are witnesses. Uh-oh.
No, it was all good. It was all good. It was great. We caught the highway.
As I mentioned, it was a lot of fun back then. And, Stan, you and I have talked about this before. We were fortunate to be in television, especially working for the Hubbard family, where television was fun. it, when we were seeing a transition where we were going from, well, certainly in weather, going from the plexiglass map and the magic marker all the way into the first commercial Doppler radar, television graphics. It was a great time to be in television.
Dennis, we caught the high wave just by luck and good fortune. And yes, and the Hubbards, too, gave put in your hands, and I think your weather department was like a dozen people up there at one point. Dave Dahl was not even on the air.
We were the largest TV weather operation in the world with a staff of 9 meteorologists. Well, unbelievable.
The National Weather Service was in awe and jealous of us.
Well, then you throw on top of that, we had probably 10 or 12 people in the sports department. Nobody had that anywhere in the country. I mean, it was bizarre.
Stan just mentioned that
you're right. The first time I met Dave Dahl, he wasn't even on the air.
He was not on the air. He was an off-air assistant in the weather department.
In fact, you remember Gene Rubin, who was doing the
weekend. Oh, my God, Gene Rubin.
Sure do.
Oh, where's a character?
And I thought, I'm going to put Dave Dahl on the air, and I'm not going to tell then-news director Bob Jordan about it.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
They're still looking for you, Dennis.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we see you pop up on the network from time to time during severe weather. It's always good to see you and hear you, Dennis, so we've kept in touch that way. I'm sorry we didn't hook up.
We sure have, and the job I've got down here at the Hurricane Center as its public affairs officer is really neat because having been in on the broadcasting side and having to work with the broadcasters here for their needs, I see both sides of the aisle. I know their demands, and I know what they need, and that's a big plus, and I feel very fortunate to be doing this.
Well, you know, it's the first time in probably, I mean, we'll just talk about even seeing each other, but to have all three of you guys on the same microphone, and I feel...
This is a big surprise.
First of all, you guys all agreed to do this today, so that's first of all, thank you for all three of you deciding to give up your afternoon today to either talk via phone or stay...
What else are you going
to
do when it's this cold outside? I came in from Arizona,
well,
for God's sake.
You know, unfortunately, there's no Ice Palace, there's no Parade Wars, you guys, we can't do the parade. I used to wonder, there's a while in the 80s, you guys remember this, Parade Wars. So 4, 5, 11. How much more coverage can we have of a parade? And I remember going to the Winter Carnival parades, and no offense to my friends at Winter Carnival, I didn't like sitting outside watching a parade when it's 20 below.
It wasn't any fun being on the float in 20 below.
Well, occasionally it was fun because there were a few of us, I won't mention any names, that maybe there was a little bit of something liquid that would warm you up a little bit.
He's not talking about me. That's why they built Skyways, Dennis, right?
Yeah,
you can watch the parade from there.
But someone had the idea that, you know, if you're at home on Saturday afternoon, tune in to Channel 5 or Channel 4 and watch 3 or 4 hours of parade coverage at the Winter Carnival Parade.
People did.
It did it.
They did. But once again, it's like the St. Paul Vulcans. You talk about the Vulcans of the Winter Carnival, not the hockey team. There was a hockey team by that name. I try to explain the Winter Carnival to people in other parts of the country, and they look at me like, huh? Yep. What? Yep. They had these guys dressed up kind of like the devil that would go around and kiss women?
Kirsten Lindquist, a friend of all of ours, they interviewed her about 10 years ago. Kind of where are they now? She was doing real estate in California, and she unfortunately passed away. If those don't know this, Kirsten Lindquist passed away of cancer. Untimely and too young 2 weeks ago. They asked her, what do you remember most about Minnesota? She said, sitting at an ice desk trying to deliver news during the Winter Carnival at a carved... I mean, that's what we have, we create structures of ice in Minnesota, but we have an ice desk to deliver the news from.
You got very good
at... But you know what? Being able to, in the summer, being able to deliver the news and have some fun out at the Minnesota State Fair, it was nice. Mm-hmm. That was a nice turnaround.
Well, you know, you talk about Stan was saying how much the Hubbards spent money and how they were on the technological edge. You know, two of the first broadcasts ever done by remote satellite trucks, one of them was the Walleye opener up on Lake Mille Lacs, where the thing was like on a trailer. It wouldn't even have a truck. Yeah. And one time, St. Paul Vulcans just brought to mind, we broadcast a hockey game between the St. Paul Vulcans and the Sioux City Muskrats. I think it was, of the U.S.
Go
Hockey League.
Go Muskrats.
And we knocked off UCLA versus Notre Dame in basketball. So people were in arms, crazy.
I remember that.
Don't you remember that? And nobody knew the understory was they were seeing if the truck would work for a long period of time.
It was a controversial piece because there was the assumption that your boss was putting on that game because
his son played in that game.
Correct.
And he loves hockey.
He regrets now because... His son, Stan, who's a real good friend of mine, he got his nose busted to smithereens in that game.
It's
Bob will remember this. I was working a Saturday, and it was NCAA tournament time. We preempted an NCAA tournament game to cover Pee Wee hockey. And I happened to be in the office that afternoon, and all the phone calls were coming to us because we were the most visible phone number at KSTP. And it's like, oh, my gosh, did we really do this? Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's a family-owned television station. He's got every right to do what he can do.
Well, usually there are reasons that I didn't find out the thing about the Sioux City hockey game till many, many years later. Usually there were reasons to what they were doing, but we didn't always know the reasons. Now, the man sitting to my right, he knew most of the reasons because he was...
he could tell you, but he'd have to kill you.
Yeah. Thank you, Dennis.
You know, Stan, to this day, there are a couple places in Pittsburgh that I get on the elevator, and it's the same elevator that they have at KSTP. And I remember countless times being called up to Mr. Hubbard's office and I would take the elevator, not the stairs, because
right,
I would
right.
try to compose myself and get my breath under control and say, okay, be prepared for anything. And then I get up, and every time I get on one of those elevators, I go, oh, I start having flashbacks.
Well, I would take the stairs because it took longer, okay?
I did the same thing.
I guess
there was nothing more fearful than walking into that second-floor office, and there's Stan Hubbard, and there's media consultant Frank Maggot sitting right next to him.
I did it every day, sometimes twice a day. This cannot be good.
It's amazing. When Frank started his business, he used to go to the stations to pitch it. And one of the first stations he pitched was owned by Scripps Howard, was WMC-TV in Memphis. I actually met Frank when I was 20 years old. I started in TV very, very young. And then fast forward, and next thing you know, he's like in our station all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like gigantic.
Hey, real quick, I want to say, you know, it's great that, because I'm sure that I've worked people, you guys worked people over the years in your careers, you know, 30 years.
What, that we didn't like?
That, well,
no, I'm just
that, that we, that, you know, the audience is more sophisticated than I think sometimes researchers will give them credit for. And, you know, you're a reporter on the air, and on right now you can tell that you guys got along, you had fun, and it's so great to have you guys all here on air together. I know that, Dennis, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to, don't want to keep you too long. I know Stan's got to go, so we're gonna probably cut a break here. But, Dennis, thanks for jumping on today. Next time you're in town, Dennis, we're going to have you in here for part two, and maybe even Bob and Dennis will get in the same state at some point.
I'd love to see. You know, where are you in Florida again, Dennis?
I'm in South Florida, Miramar, near Fort Lauderdale.
I'm gonna have to on Facebook. You got to send me your contact info so that next time I'm in South Florida, I'd love to stop by and see you because you stay well, my friend. You're just a tremendous individual. It's an honor to be able to work with you.
And Dennis, Stan here. I've got to clear the air on one thing. You and I had a meeting set up. You were coming up from Florida to Minneapolis. Probably, what, about 5 years ago? And
about 5 years ago, and something happened, and we couldn't connect.
I was on the desk at Minnesota News Network. I was news director there. A couple people called in sick. I could not get away. We did not have any bench strength there, so I did not get to see you. My apologies, Dennis. I'm sorry. Let's make good on it next time you come up, okay?
Oh, you got a deal, my friend.
And that's what it's like to work in broadcasting.
Eager to see you, my friend. Thank you.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Bob Bruce. He's going to stick around for the whole hour. And we'll come back here on Flashback Twin Cities here on KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here with our special in-studio guest, Bob Bruce, formerly of KSTP-TV, and many other news stations across the country, and now a...
You know, before we talk about anything else, I need to say that, you know, many, many years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, you can probably remind me, I got this email from a guy I didn't know, didn't know his name from Adam, and he says, hey, if you send me tapes, I will convert them to CDs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 30-something years of tapes that I'd lugged all over the country that my wife hated. And she said, can you just get rid of this crap? Which was my career, by the way.
Oh, right.
And, and so I trusted you and sent them to you because, to me, they're some of my biggest moments. Not only did you turn them back around to me, but to this day, some of the most important, probably the biggest thrill I ever had early in television, as I got to meet my childhood hero at the absolute peak of his career, and to spend one-on-one time with Jack Nicklaus, And to have that video now preserved on YouTube that every single one of my grandchildren are going to be able to see forever is just – I can't tell you what that means to me to have the stuff that you're putting on YouTube. It's basically for my family can – you know, every now and then. The other day you put something up back in 1985 or something. I showed it to my son. I said, look, he's 32, and he's thin like I – you know, perfectly thin like I used to be. I said, look, you said I was never that thin. Here it is. I have proof.
Moving proof, not just photo.
Yeah,
photo.
Moving.
I mean, a photo,
I'm talking at the same time.
We're talking video. There's some video from when you host Good Company a few times when you were waiting for a phone call because you might have had a child being born.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some pre-Scott Bruce video of even discussing the fact that he was coming around.
See, I think one of the key things in those days is I started so young in 1974 that I was kind of a broadcaster. I wanted to do anything to do with broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I wasn't limited to one thing.
Right.
And fortunately, through Mr. Hubbard and KSTP, I was able to do Good Company, and that expanded, which led to me doing Twin Cities Live, which led to me becoming a news anchor. So I literally... in my career, I went from being a disc jockey to a sports anchor to a talk show host to a news anchor over 36 years. So I mean, it was amazing. You look back on the evolution of it now, which during the time it was very tumultuous and
right.
There was all kinds of ups and downs and successes and failures. I was turned down the first time for Twin Cities Live. Mm-hmm. They hired another host by the name of Gene Rump.
Mm-hmm.
It lasted 1 year. They fired him, and then I took the job. So I lost the job first. I remember I was in Denver doing a preseason Viking game, and they called and told me I didn't get it, and I was just devastated, because I knew I needed to move beyond sports.
Because you'd host a Good Company, and also you did what a lot of people are doing now, but you became nimble, agile. You know, not just a guy that is going to read some sports scores. And I read when you did articles when you were leaving broadcasting. ESPN was coming up, and you saw, you know, I'm doing sports 5 minutes a night.
No,
I got to do something more than this. And besides just the money part of it.
No, I knew that local sports was going to be a totally different ball game. And when I first switched to sports, there was maybe like one other guy. Bryant Gumbels was one of the guys that went from sports to news, and really nobody had done it.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this town, you have Randy Shaver, Jeff Passholt, all this other stuff. A little known story, which has never been told to the public, is I was actually brought back in for an audition once to come back to the Twin Cities to anchor at KSTP. And the news director called me. I was in Phoenix at the time. Called me and says, you know what, Bob? He says, we think you're tremendous. You're just unbelievable. But we don't know if the audience will buy a former sportscaster as a newscaster.
Hmm.
It was just a little too early.
Somehow the audience has adapted to that because we have two. I mean, we have two, and actually, you know, 11 and 9 do very well, and they have more sportscasters, sports anchors, sports directors, and you also anchored news at Channel 5 for 3 or 4 years before you.
Well, while I was doing Twin Cities Live, because you remember, I went from one day interviewing the Minnesota Vikings,
right,
to the next day doing an hour on Twin Cities Live on female bladder infections.
That's right.
So that was a bit of a stretch. So you had to, you know, kind of move forward. So I was trying to transfer my credibility, basically. All this stuff that you saved and everything with TC Mitty, most of that stuff, like most of the old film stories and everything, most of the TV stations just threw that in the trash.
Yeah, and one thing, threw it away. And one thing at TC Mitty now, what I'm trying to do is, you probably had these 3/4-inch tapes. When is the last time you played a 3/4-inch tape? That those big broadcast tapes.
Well, you can't play them because the machines don't even exist. Really?
Exactly. I harvest them from all corners of the world, and I take parts on them. And that's what I tell people: don't throw tapes away. If you're listening to the show and you have some tapes, you have some film, don't throw away. There is opportunity to digitize that, and there's great history on that. And any tape someone gives.
Well, the history you're talking about is what people don't realize when you watch these tapes on TC Media now is that the commercials give a statement of where the culture was at that time.
And that's what I tell people. I say, because they say, I don't think it's anything you want. I said, but that's where you're wrong, because you take a tape. Let's say a tape that has 3 or 4 recordings on it. You go to the end of the tape, I find a press conference. I find commercials. I find a show. I have 4 versions of the last episode of MASH. That was 32 years ago. And on those tapes, you roll over, there's a newscast. There are things that have gone on in history or in this town. There's landmarks. There's skylines. This is all great history. It's moving history.
Well, plus the fact that the one thing that you'll see consistent in the Twin Cities, and I just did – I presented to a financial conference in Dallas about 2 weeks ago how the media has changed dramatically and how difficult it is for investors and financial advisors to interpret what's happening in the media because it's just a mess. It's just different. I want to say it's a mess. It's just very, very different. But the one thing I gave as an example was actually this town where there still is some pretty high-quality journalism because the stations here spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of markets now, they don't spend the money. And, you know, it is basically crime and, you know, that sort of thing. And they're younger and younger people. Mm-hmm. And you need some experienced people to teach you how to do a very complicated story. But there's still some great journalism being done here. And there's great journalism being done in various places. But you got to hunt and find it now. Because opinion and commentary and news used to be kind of separated. Now it's all pushed together.
And with social media, it makes it even harder. Because social media somehow, because I think the people are used to seeing something in typed up, that's news. Well, now everything is opinion-based. And I think there's a lot of great things that are being broken through Twitter. People are seeing things. They're reporting it. Everyone's a journalist now.
Yep.
But the challenge we have in a society is filtering what is someone's opinion or what they think they saw. People go rush to the air with things they heard on the internet.
One thing I cringe every time I see this is even on the major networks when they say, well, we think this is happening. We think this is happening.
Right.
You didn't think something was happening. You didn't report it on the air unless you knew it was fact.
Right.
And there's danger in that. And we've seen that happen.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen certain networks edit tapes where it looked better on the air for the story's purpose. We've seen a major news anchor. When I stood up in front of these financial advisors and I've been a financial advisor for almost 16 years now, and I they kind of looked at me. Well, I spent a lot of time in the media, so I know a little bit about the media. And I put up a picture of Brian Williams, who I think is a tremendous journalist, tremendous guy,
great anchor.
But he got caught up in the Jon Stewart syndrome of celebrity and news guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I put up his picture, and I said, what's the first word that comes to your mind? And these are pretty savvy people, and they go, liar, untrustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's how quick your credibility can crash.
You know, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, I think you'll agree, we have a low tolerance for corruption and for fraud in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We don't have a lot of politicians that go to jail here. Once in a while, when it's usually out of something ridiculous that happens, they go to jail here, or they get out of office, or they're taken out of office. But our news audience and our news stations, luckily at this point, are still respecting the audience.
Well, I think I haven't seen the latest statistics, but I remember when I was working here, this was one of the most highly educated audiences in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to do a higher level of journalism because you had smarter people watching. They're more savvy than in many other markets. I mean, when I worked in Oklahoma City, that was not the case. Nothing against Oklahoma City, but I mean, it was a totally different. I worked in like seven different cities all over the country. Most of it here, 13 years here. But you can see there are differences from regions. There are differences in Phoenix television, dramatic differences than Minneapolis television.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that television is going to go back to, is becoming more localized.
I just have a question about that. So when you say, like, you have to have a different style of writing.
He jumps in.
I do.
Behind the glass. He has that power.
This is Tom. He's our producer. You've talked to him before.
He's the producer. I'll shut up and do what he tells me to do.
Yeah. when you say, like, you have to write your news in a different way for, like, Oklahoma, the usual style you're supposed to write things for is, like, the sixth grade level around that. Are you saying you would have to use even simpler words, or you would have to simplify the story?
You really think most news copy is written to the sixth grade level? I don't know if it's that high. But, I don't know. I can tell you I was never told at any station to dumb this down.
Okay.
Never, ever, ever told that. And I was never, quite frankly, I can honestly say, I was never told make this more liberal or make this more conservative.
But they wouldn't say, you know, explain the details more. Would they ever say make this less complicated?
No. And the way in which they would phrase that is make it conversational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it more conversational. So you're more talking to someone, more of a story, because the story kind of connects. If you tell someone a story, it connects the right brain and the left brain. So a really good story brings the whole person in.
So it would go away from straight fact-based to the facts with these events put into it in a way that people can relate.
And here's the difference between news stories of the old day and now. In the old day, you could do a news story a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Sure.
Now, max is a minute. So you've got 60 seconds to tell a story. You're going to go on the scene. You got to interview somebody to show that you were there, but you may see that soundbite run for 5 seconds or 7 seconds or 8 seconds, and then the reporter tells the rest of the story. I was taught you had them tell the story, and you filled in the gaps, but you don't have time for that anymore. And what happens is if you have the reporter telling the majority of the story, just by human nature, more bias is going to come into the story.
Absolutely. And whereas it used to be they explain the story, and then the news would say, well, this is what this person said.
Yeah.
And make your own opinion? Or
The tremendous pressure that, you know, we were once again talking out there, you know, there's a tremendous challenge for broadcasting. In the old days, people would come home at 5 and 6 o'clock and have dinner and watch the news. Well, people are so busy now.
Right.
You know, how do you get those eyes on you? Now, the morning news continues to grow. The late news seems to hold its own. But that middle section is becoming very difficult. And so I really think television news, more than any other time in history perhaps, is going to have to reinvent itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just as AM radio I remember when FM radio came on, and I'm that old. And that was my big goal in life was to be an FM disc jockey back in the day when they had lava lamps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't have the voice.
You're listening to so-and-so. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Led Zeppelin coming on now.
WCFM 100 was the 100,000-watt clear channel FM. And every time I was doing the weekend weather at that point, and you'd walk by, and there'd be like all these beautiful girls in there. There were couches and lava lamps.
Oh, so it's like here.
It's like here.
It's like this. Absolutely.
We got light in the mode a little bit now. Now, Bob,
thought that was light.
Yeah, that was
no, we're playing light. But we were talking before you were interviewing Vikings players and then meeting, you know, discussing women's bladder issues. I have, you know, on TV.
See, he stumbled there. He's never going to be able to do a female talk show. He's not in touch with his feminine side.
I'm losing the demographic.
We keep
right
trying
now.
To teach him. It just doesn't go anywhere.
Shelley Long, Mary Wilson of the Supremes, Body by Jake. This one, I played a little clip of this video I'm going to play right now. I don't know what it was about this one. I enjoyed watching your reaction this whole hour of Twin Cities Live, and somehow on Facebook,
this
blew up. We're gonna play just a few clips of this right here.
First, welcome to Twin Cities Live. I can't believe this. This is Monday. I mean, these people are ready for this week. No kidding. We are gonna have fun today. We're gonna get a chance to choose the Twin Cities Live Man of the Year. How about that, huh? Will that be fun?
Oh, I don't remember this.
With us is a lady who is determined to bring about a change as far as beauty pageants are concerned. We all know they've been pretty much for women, but now we're going to have a U.S. Man of the Year. Right, Brian?
Boy, we were doing everything.
Why a U.S. Man of the Year? Is it just that
really? We did this show?
Absolutely. The time is long overdue.
Wow.
Men have now...
Wow. You know, it's funny. You look at that tape, and it's a big audience. And I said, oh, it's great. It's Monday. I was just happy we had a big audience because some days, I mean, there was one day that there was like 12 inches of snow. It was 5 degrees. Nobody showed up. Well, we're live. Our audience didn't show up. Our guests didn't show up. Well, we're running around the studio doing kind of like David Letterman stuff, trying to fill the hour. And then we came upon the brilliant idea. One of our highest rated shows, and we did it like a couple years in a row, is we'd pick really cold February, and we'd do a swimsuit fashion show. That was hands down. That baby always got great ratings.
Somehow in this particular episode, again, this kind of blew up on Facebook.
Wait, what? Who was that I just saw?
Oh, yeah, we got Bob, you're moderating the Man of the Year. You're moderating a men's swimsuit contest at that point. That's put that with Shelley Long, Jimmy Carter, and put this one on that list when you describe
my favorite of all time was Tim Conway, though. I thought Tim Conway was one of the funniest individuals I ever saw live. He did the whole hour. I think I said 3 words, and I still to this day, my wife kind of shrugs at me every time I say this. One of the most devastating, beautiful women I ever saw in my life in person was Suzanne Somers at her peak, and she was on the show, and she walked in, and I mean, it was like, and I would always judge people, guests on how they treated my producers.
Right, right.
Because they'd be nice to me, but treat the producers like,
I like you.
Like terrible.
Right.
And so she was great to me and everything else, but her husband was just a jerk.
And we knew that. I mean, we've heard that that tale for years. I mean, being that's why she was Authorized Company, because he was strong-arming producers and owners. Did you find that the bigger the celebrity, the nicer they were to
for
people?
The most part, except for the guy who was the biggest disappointment to me, who was a legend in broadcasting, is Steve Allen, the first guy of The Tonight Show. He was a total jerk. I'm sorry, I just got to say it. He was a jerk. Shirley MacLaine was like I was scared to death of her. I walked in. I said, "Shirley, are your chakras in line today?"
Mm-hmm.
And I clipped off a couple of quick verses of her book, and she loved me. She loved me. Ted Koppel was a little, you know, I'm standing those stairs, and I asked him a question. I turn around to look and see if somebody – I'm listening to him. But he thinks I'm not listening. He goes, "Well, if you were listening to my answer," and I wheeled around and I went right into it. And then from that point on, he was pretty cooperative. But
it's I think guys sometimes that think they're the smartest person in the room, and they come into the TV studio.
Oh, just a little podunk local guy,
right? They think this is just some to us cable access or some kind of inconvenience to what they're trying to do. And don't ask me questions there. I'm a national news.
But the bottom line every time is, I tell people, I've talked to every kind of human being you can think of, good and bad. You know, I've talked to murderers right after they're arrested. I've talked to presidents of the United States. They're all just people.
Right.
They're all just people.
You flew Air Force One with George Bush.
2 weeks before he lost the election to Bill Clinton. It was really one of my big thrills. And I wasn't sitting in back with the media. Mm-hmm. I was up front. The guy with the football, the nuclear football, is like right across from me. And so we go walking through the plane, and he goes, HW says, "Hey, y'all come in here and look at this varmint gun I got last night." And so I walk in there with these two other local guys from Phoenix, and I say, "Oh, Mr. President, that's great." I said, "You dove hunt down on the Encinitas Ranch, don't you? I've worked cattle down there with some cowboy buddies of mine." He says, "Oh, yeah, yeah." We start talking, and then this guy behind him in a blue suit goes, "We have to get back to work." That was Howard Baker. He was very intimidating. But a tremendous...
And you said, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Bob Bruce."
yeah. But it saved me on the air for years when any time the guy would come to town, the president, and they'd park and they never got off on time, and you'd have to tap dance for, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
I go, "Well, right there to the left of that window, that's where the conference room is and then the White House in the sky." And so it's just saved me for years.
It's a great video. It's amazing.
I wish I had that video. I don't have that interview. I can't.
I think we have that.
You have that interview?
I think that
he
is
stuff I don't even know I have.
Yeah, I think we have that. I think
that happens a lot. Kind of awesome.
I'll make sure you view that.
Yeah, because I can't ever remember seeing it.
I'll find that. We have a few things I want to talk about. Our time is just going fast today, and we'll come back here in Flashback Twin Cities here on KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here with our special in-studio guest, Bob Bruce, formerly of KSTP-TV, and it is high school hockey
tournament. By the way, next time, I'm going to mention this because you mentioned out there, next time you should have the man on who's probably more responsible for me being a success in the Twin Cities, and it did more to make me look bright, brilliant, and everything, and that's Paul Hipp.
Yeah.
Paul Hipp and his cohort in crime, who came on later, I think he'd been fired from the Bemidji Cable Station or something, and I drove up and I met him, Gary Schultenberg, two of the most talented individual guys I ever worked with, and you know I owe them an awful lot.
Paul Hipp is at Fox Sports. He'll appreciate hearing this, and I will. When we do this again, we're going to do it again. We'll make sure we get Paul Hipp. There's a few others we'll have.
I almost gave him a heart attack about 550 times. I mean, I was a pistol in those days, and he would just, you know, in those days, Paul, you know, I think he was smoking in those days, and he was drinking Coca-Cola like 24 hours a day, and you know, he's like a chicken on a hot skillet, and you know, but. Man, that guy could put words together.
I have to play a little clip here. It's high school hockey tournament time, and you remember these periods. You were with Howard Cosell. You know, Howard Cosell came to town one time, and he was hanging out doing the high school hockey tournament.
Who's this?
What
we were talking about earlier, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is from 1980. This was the pre-show that you guys did on Channel 5.
We call it Minnesota Mania. Now, here is Channel 5 sports director, Bob Bruce.
Minnesota Mania. You just know it's that time of year. You feel it. If the weather, which has threatened the Twin Cities, hasn't turned your thoughts to the St. Paul Civic Center, then maybe those hard-fought sectional finals of last week have. One thing is certain, as the 80s dawn on the state high school hockey tournament, there will be a new state champion. Edina East, the high school hockey story of the 70s, will not be back to defend last year's championship. And there are five new faces in the tournament this year, and that's to be expected, because as the old cliche goes, nothing is so certain as change. The ebb and flow of the dynasties and the upset
Paul wrote
champions
all that.
Throughout
nothing so.
He probably, I just saw something the other day. I think you had the closing of Metropolitan Stadium, and he produced all that. I also noticed on your screen there another great guy that I should mention that was tremendously nice and was way older than me when I got here, Ed Cairo, and they installed me as sports director and everything. And Eddie was just a hoot, a very unique guy. It's too bad that he's gone, but he was another, you know, we had between Rob Lear and Ed Cairo and, you know, the nucleus, Denny D. Grizzell. Oh, my God, the adventures I was on with him, shooting all kinds of stuff. And Jim Rudy, one of the great old cranky cameramen I've ever worked with in my life. And you go, Phil Engelstad, and I, you know, I could go back through all the names, but, you know, Rob especially, you know, and then Joe Schmidt who came in. And I was very, very disappointed when they passed over Joe Schmidt and they made a big mistake. And I normally wouldn't say this, Stanley might hear this, but I think it was a big mistake when they hired Mark Curtis out of Arizona. And he didn't last, and then Joe rightfully got what should have been his. And it's funny because I spend a lot of time in Scottsdale now. Another guy who switched from sports to news is Mark Curtis, and he's now the main news anchor on Channel 12 in Phoenix.
You know,
so
we,
I started a trend.
I don't think Mark Curtis is going to be on the show, so I'm not too worried about that. I don't think that.
He's a good guy. He wasn't right for Minnesota. He was an Arizona guy. He didn't get the culture.
There's a rumor, which I will firsthand by someone we've already talked. Rumor that when he came to town, the Twins were doing pretty well late summer '87.
Yeah,
and he said, "No, we got to play Cubs clips tonight because America wants to see the Cubs." And a producer.
Well, that's a pure Arizona thing because the Cubs are very big in Arizona because they do spring training there. By the way, I should mention the other anniversary. The only regret and the biggest disappointment in my entire broadcasting career, the anniversary was on February 22nd, the American hockey team winning the gold medal. I went to Lake Placid, set up the place we were going to stay. Very difficult. We were one of only like two broadcast outlets in the country, local outlets that had tickets and credentials. Mm-hmm. It's very unlike it is today. And right before we were to go, the word came down that, well, it's a rating period and we can't have our number one guy off the air. And that was really the thinking back in those days. So I didn't get to go. So I sent Ed Cairo and Rob Lear. And I remember that day, I think it was a Friday that game was played on. Yep. And I remember sitting there and I'm having to listen to it on radio. And the greatest sports moment of the Sports Illustrated, the 20th century or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
especially Minnesota, because especially with Herb
and I
Brooks.
I knew Herbie really well. Yep. Hell, I knew his father. He used to run the St. Paul Coliseum. I'd go skate with the St. Paul Cops. And I knew Patty and then all those guys, Lou Nanny, Walter Bush, everybody involved in it, all the players covered him. And I wasn't there. And to this day, that is the only regret that I have.
The only other question I'd ask you, other regret, is you come to town in 1978, and the Twins and the Vikings, it was not their highlight. It was not their best years.
They were terrible. It was the last year of Fran Tarkenton. And then they got close once against Philadelphia, the Vikings. And then the night before, I mean, it was like literally the night before they clinched the pennant in 1987.
The year you leave sports, the Twins go to the World Series.
Well, I had a choice. Mr. Hubbard and the station would have been happy if I'd have stayed in sports. You know, but they knew I just pushed them harder and harder and harder. And eventually somebody said, okay, give them a chance. And then so I had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And I left, and I missed out on being in the locker room. But even that, even though I knew Herbie really well, and many years ago I was in the Twin Cities long after being off the air, and I had a guy behind me go, hey, Bobby, it was at Galleons on 494. Mm-hmm. It was Kirby Puckett. You know, he had his head kind of tilted to the side. Very sad story there. But missing that hockey game, every time I watch a documentary on it or whatever, I just want to throw up. I mean, I don't know why. It was the worst thing. And then, of course, they say, for Sarajevo, you can go. Well, that was a terrible team. That team was horrendous. We could have taken Edina and done better. Well, I'd probably taken Grand Rapids, but I don't know. One of the two.
Well, he was Rob Witters. I probably wanted to go with the Dyna, probably, because Rob was with the
SC. Oh, yeah, he would definitely go
with
the Dyna.
He would have said Dyna.
He's more of a Dyna guy, but I always lived in Bloomington, so I wasn't much of a Dyna guy.
You and Bud Grant were neighbors, right?
Yeah. Bud Grant. Just some of those shows with him, he was such a character and would do things on me on the airplane, like he'd go, Bob, there's something wrong with this ice cream cone. He's got an ice cream cone in his hand. He says, smell this. Something wrong with this. And he'd take it and jam it in my nose.
And here we thought, what did they call him? The cold, what was the nickname they had for him?
Well, he had a very strange sense of humor. The first show I ever did, I asked him this really, I'm 25 years old. This is on at 6:30 at night on a Monday. And I asked him, I said, well, what about the defense here? And he looked at me, and the only thing he said to me is, you're new around here, aren't you? And I'm just sitting there, what the heck do I say? I'm new. Nobody knows me. He's God. I can't say something bad about him.
Was there a point, that you come to town to the number one station town, 50% share, you had been very successful. You're in Dallas. You came to Minnesota. Came to Minneapolis to a legendary broadcast station. And now, okay, you're a young guy. Now go do a show with the head coach of Minnesota Vikings. He was a generation older than you. He had been to 4 Super Bowls. Okay, now go interview him every weeknight.
Well, I mean, that was tough. And then I did the Lou Grant not the Lou Grant show. Yeah, I did the Lou Grant show as well.
You know,
I worked for Lou. No, I did the Lou Holtz show.
Yep.
And that was a trip too. But I mean, when you look at some of the shows that we did and traveling on, we used to travel with the team on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
No.
So you'd get on the plane to old Northwest Airlines with the D.B. Cooper steps in the back that'd come down. Mm-hmm. You'd get on, they'd give you a bag of ice and a couple of beers inside there, and the players would drink the beer and put the ice wherever they hurt.
Got some audio here from the Bud Grant show.
Matt today beating the Detroit Lions 26-24 to jump back into a tie
That's
for first place
guy.
In the Central Division of the NFC. And, can you believe it? It was just a great game with us to talk about as the head coach, Bud Grant, and, of course, the man who provided some very necessary points in today's game, place kicker Rick Danmeyer. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, boy, it must have been a slow week if all we could get was a kicker.
That was what I did get a email from your producer, Paul Hipp. It said, there were some weeks we were trying to find someone to go in there, because if it's you and Bud talking for a half hour,
I'll tell you, Bud is cranky, and all he wanted, he loved hush puppies, and he wanted to make sure he got his clothing allowance. But he was always a nice man to me, and I thought he taught me a lot about football. The thing that happened with Lou Holtz is they got beat by Illinois like 40-0, and Lou calls in and says, we're not going to use highlights. I'm going, Lou, we got to use highlights. It's a highlight show. He says, no, we're not going to use highlights, and if you do it, I'm not going to do the show. Well, then we wait. He shows up, and evidently he had talked to somebody or whatever, and this is Lou. He turned it quickly around and says, oh, no, you're right. We have to use highlights. We'll, and he turned it totally around. So you never knew what to expect, but with Bud, you always did. You always did.
And where are you now? So people that are listening to the show now, and I don't know, Bob Bruce does now, what are you doing now? You are working, you're your own business now?
Well, yeah, I own a financial advisory practice and have for about 15 years. And my son, Scott, who was born at Midway Hospital, he is now a certified financial planner and works with me. Newland Archinall, who is a co-anchor of mine for 10 years on TV, she's a certified financial planner, is working with me. And my son-in-law, who is now our chief operations officer, and we have our main office in Pittsburgh, and I have clients in 21 different states around the country. And, I kind of escaped Arizona, I love Pittsburgh. And the greatest thing about being from Pittsburgh and being a Steeler fan is that every time anywhere in the country somebody says, oh, like the 49ers, out west they're always saying, oh, we're so good. I go, how many Super Bowls do you have?
Shut up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, how many Super Bowls do you have? And then mostly for hockey, too.
Bad topic here, by the way. Don't bring in Super Bowls around this
town. We got a pretty decent hockey team, too.
Yeah.
Which, and the biggest reaction I get, I still have an original North Star jersey.
With your name on it. I've seen this.
With my name on it. With the number 5, because I was in a celebrity hockey game. I wear that to games, at the Penn games. People go, they know the North Stars. They don't care about Dallas. They remember the Minnesota North Stars.
It is one of the
And the Montreal Canadiens, we played them out to the playoffs. A whole group of them got around me and started yelling, Bobby Smith, Bobby Smith. So, I mean, every you never lose.
No, you don't shake Minnesota off. And I know that I can't be the only person to ever email you at the Blue and said, hey, you know, from your days in Minnesota, you must get emails occasionally.
I get stopped by people no matter what city. I've been recognized. I was recognized at the Vatican in the Sistine Chapel. A guy came up to me, and I think he was from Burnsville or something. He says, God, you used to be on TV in the Twin Cities? But really, working now in the financial business and working with my family and being able to impact people's lives is a lot of fun, and I really enjoy that. And more importantly, I enjoy the freedom. We basically worked all the time. We worked every holiday. Mm-hmm. In those days, they believed in working, you know, 6 days a week during raiding periods. It was wild, a lot of fun, and will never be replicated again those days.
No, and you know, you'd mentioned before we had joined the show last time, you're not getting up at 4 in the morning anymore doing makeup. No. And it's a great freedom to be able to actually—
Thank goodness. High definition TV, as soon as that came in, I said, it's time to get out.
You know, though, hey, there's people that are 20, 30 years older than us that are still on TV, and somehow they must be doing some extra.
They're 40-year-old guys on TV?
I know, right? There's 41. They're making it work. I mean, I remember watching 60 Minutes when they went to HD, and we know the 60 Minutes staff might be a little older than us, okay? And our audience listening might be the same age as them, so I don't know, disrespect, but HGTV and Andy Rooney just wasn't the best thing.
Nah, it became very tough. But I'll tell you, when I look back on my life, you know, there's no doubt that TV changed. Growing up in Memphis and really not having a way particularly out and not having much guidance, TV gave me that way out. And then the greatest break I ever had is when I got hired by Mr. Hubbard to come to Minneapolis at 25. Wouldn't have met my wife, wouldn't have had my kids, mm-hmm. wouldn't have the friends and the experiences. I mean, it was critical in who I became in life.
That's great. And by the way, we will have to do this again because it's the second time on the show. And next time you come on, we're going to have another case to be all-stars. So I want to thank you, Bob Bruce, Stan Turner, Dennis Felkin, for calling in from Florida. Great show. We'll do it again.
Well, thank you. And next time, if we could get a little better producer, we might. No,
I
no.
believe that.
That's
absolutely.
We'll work on that, too. Flash of Twin Cities. We'll be back next Saturday here on KLEB Club 1220.